Perseveration is a brain dysfunction. It shows itself by someone acting in a way over and over again, despite the fact that the action may be meaningless or cause harm even, or death. This particular brain dysfunction is present in medical conditions, some diseases, sometimes head trauma. An example of it is if I were waving goodbye to you and you went down the block and you turned the corner and I continued to wave and you walked 10 or 18 blocks and got home and I was still there waving. That's kind of an innocent example of perseveration. But despite the fact that it's from a medical model and it describes an organic behavior, actually, you can stretch that definition, and in fact, over the years, it has been stretched to include behaviors of ours that are destructive and yet continue. I imagine we could put addictions into this mix. Smoking seems to be one of the most common ones of these kinds of addictions that really qualifies as a perseveration. I keep doing it regardless of the fact that I know it's harming me. Somehow I'm not able to stop that cycle. I guess you could stretch it also to people who talk incessantly about themselves or others, get into gossip and everything is critical and people are all out to get you, and that kind of characteristic that is a conversational method, but the way it's exhibited actually cancels and kills friendships, has the opposite effect, and it is a very destructive force. The same kind of force that a parent might use in supporting his or her family, maybe working, overworking, not even being available to the family, but feeling the need to produce enough so that the family has things. These are these kinds of examples of perseveration. Now, I've understood those kinds of examples, but the best thing I came across is a production, it's a poem, really, a story. It's from the 12-step tradition, and no one really knows the author, so a lot of times if you look it up on the internet, it says unattributed or anonymous. It's called An Autobiography in 5 Chapters. Maybe you've heard it, but I'll share it with you. Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. Perseveration. Something that St. Paul knew a lot about. Now, in the letter to the Romans, we're going to hear this in a little while. You know, this is the night where we tell the whole story. And a lot of times, this little piece of St. Paul gets lost in the mix because, there's creation. There's the Exodus and the parting of the Red Sea and the horse and chariot thrown into the water. There's all kinds of abundance in Isaiah. We haven't even got to the resurrection gospel yet. And there's this tiny little slice of Paul slid in as the epistle. And in it, he talks a lot about perseveration, oddly enough. He wants to show how we move from death to new life, from sin to righteousness. And he knows we're stuck. So he asks the question, the way he sets this up is he asks the question, we are those who have died in sin. How can we live in it any longer? If we've died to sin, how can we live in it? Good question. How is it possible that we've been buried with Christ? We have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So how is it possible to not walk in sin? It doesn't make any sense, technically, because if the sinful life is dead, we should not be sinning, right? The problem is, we do. We still have our fixations. We still have the habit that we do that may be sin, that is sin. We still gossip. We still maybe act righteously as Christians. You know, that's another one of those perseverations. Christians who try to be so righteous that they end up being self-righteous, and then the gospel just doesn't get to the people it's supposed to get to. So we still have these perseverations. We still have these problems. But if we're dead to sin, how come we're still sinning? Now, Paul recognizes this paradox. You know, it is impossible not to sin, right? And it is possible to live outside of sin. That's what he says. Now, I get it. Paul is really hard to understand sometimes because he says things like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed. He wants to show us that we're not enslaved to sin. Because if we have died with Christ in his death and come out the other side into resurrection, we should be sinless, one would think. But if you read Paul carefully, he says, we will be united in his resurrection. So he does recognize that we have crossed that border of out of death into life with Christ, but the full life of resurrection is ahead of us. It won't be ours to be sinless on this earth. Now, N.T. Wright is a New Testament scholar, and he says something like this. It sounds a little strange, I got to admit, but I do like what he says. He says, when Paul asks, should we continue to sin, it's the same question as, should we remain in France? And this is what he means by this. If we want to not remain in France, we have to stop speaking French. Makes sense. He asks a question about, let's say you have a grandmother who is an expatriate from France, and she comes over. She's freed from France. She's freed from the obligation to speak French. She chooses not to speak French. She chooses to speak English. Will she in her whole life never lapse into French? That's not very likely. That's going to happen. Can she learn to speak only English? Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. For him, that's the way to approach. We are freed from sin, not enslaved, and yet we continue to do sin. And so grandma will lapse into French occasionally, and we forgive her. His final remark is the way we are proceeding this evening, through the story, through the death into life. Paul says, "So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." That means we're removed from the land of sin and death. We're on the road to resurrection life. And we have broken that power of perseveration that dogs us at times. It no longer has control over us. We have walked across the border from death to life. And that is the gift of the resurrection to us this night. Amen.